This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with the Trump administration's intention to roll back one of former President Barack Obama's main initiatives to curb greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. In a moment, we'll hear from Obama's former EPA chief, Gina McCarthy, who's back home in Boston. But first, Scott Pruitt, the current head of the EPA, says he will end Obama's Clean Power Plan, which is trying to encourage states to move away from coal toward cleaner sources of power. Here's Pruitt speaking yesterday in Kentucky.
The past administration was unapologetic. They were using every bit of power to use the EPA to pick winners and losers in how we generate electricity in this country.
Joining us now is Gina McCarthy, former administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency under President Obama. She's a native of Massachusetts and joins us from Jamaica Plain. Thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be here, Anthony. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. So Scott Pruitt declared that the war against coal is over, and he argues that the Obama administration overstepped its legal authority with the Clean Power Plan. What's your view of the effect that this will have going forward, the Trump administration's action?
Well, first of all, Anthony, let me say that we did not have a war on coal. EPA's job is to protect public health and the natural resources that we need to survive and to thrive. And that's what we did here. We actually were addressing a significant and, if you will, existential challenge of climate change. But what we were specifically doing was reducing carbon pollution in a sector, the power sector, that was generating a lot.
And can you remind us what the Obama Clean Power Plan would have done specifically?
Yeah, well, it already did, Anthony, so it's not gone yet. It actually set limits in the power sector for coal and natural gas facilities that would require reductions in those facilities on a state-by-state basis. So it basically was just setting limits on pollution the same way we set limits on other pollution, like those that are cause ozone and toxic substances that are emitted.
Right.
So that's what it is. And it really wasn't done to pick winners and losers. And in fact, it actually doesn't, the law doesn't give us the authority to do that. And we certainly didn't. We left tremendous flexibility up to states on how to meet these state standards.
Right. Now, and yet, as you know, some 28 states challenged the regulation. Before he replaced you, Scott Pruitt sided with industry officials who said that it went too far. And last year, the Supreme Court blocked implementation of the regulation. So respond to the Trump administration's case that the Clean Power Plan exceeded the administration's authority.
Well, I think, as you will see from a lot of the litigation that's happened so far, is that it's not unusual in a case of this significance to have a number of litigants challenging a rule. We're used to that. But what we did in order to protect ourselves was to make sure that we were actually following science, doing what the law says. We took an approach that was specifically sensitive to the need to make sure that we didn't impact the reliability and affordability of the energy system. And we took what really would be considered, I think, by all standards, the most cooperative federalism approach that the agency could take, which was actually to set a standard and allow states and show them that there were numerous options for meeting these standards. So any accusation that we didn't do the outreach we were supposed to do or provide ultimate flexibility is simply not founded in the law and not founded in the court documents that are available to everybody in the rule itself.
Yeah.
So I think we did our homework on this one, Anthony. We got 4.3 million comments, not because we didn't seek them, but because we did.
So,
we wanted to understand what the choices were and how we get this done in a way that is directly based on law and science.
Right. Now, environmental groups and several states plan to challenge the repeal proposal in federal courts, and they're going to argue that against Mr. Pruitt's move on both scientific and economic grounds. Look, I have two questions here, and I'm going to ask this one first. If the Trump administration prevails, can you talk about the effect? What would concern you the most if the Trump administration were to prevail here?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of a process here, Anthony. Let me make sure that people understand it. This is a proposed rule. It opens up for comment to everybody to ask whether or not It does only one thing. It repeals the Clean Power Plan. It doesn't replace it with anything, which is going to be, I think, a significantly difficult strategy for this administration to survive under court challenge. But having said that, what does it do? It, you know, like many of the announcements that the administration has made on environmental standards and regulations that we've relied on for a long time, it really creates a significant level of uncertainty. Now, I will begin by saying the clean energy train in this country has left the station. It is moving forward. We know that renewable energy and energy efficiency are the most inexpensive ways to deliver really good and solid and reliable electricity. They're being integrated all across the country, with individual states having requirements for it, never mind anything that the federal government might do or not do with the Clean Power Plan. So that is moving forward. But what it does do, and it does this in concert with, you know, this administration saying that they're pulling out of the Paris Agreement, is it just, it sort of not only cedes to other countries the kind of innovation that we need moving forward in those economic opportunities and jobs that come with it, but it really puts us as an outlier in the discussion of how to work with the rest of the world to address what we know is a planetary issue.
Yeah, so let me ask you what you see sort of happening here in your own state of Massachusetts, indeed in states like California, New York, which are already moving ahead of the targets set by the Clean Power Plan. I mean, is that sort of where the action shifts, in your view, to the state level?
Absolutely. And you know, we saw it happen. In California, they reauthorized their cap and trade program, and they also expanded it to other sectors. So they are moving forward. In the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative states, which are both Republican and Democratic governors, they have agreed to tighten their cap, and they're looking at opportunities to do that moving forward and to potentially even incorporate some strategies for reducing greenhouse gases in the transportation sector. So there is a lot of activity. You have a number of cities in other states that are very active. And the one thing that I think gives me a tremendous amount of comfort is that there are so many states already which meet the targets identified in the Clean Power Plan, you know, that aren't even due until 2022, 2024. So we know that this is moving forward. It's just a very bad signal. And that bad signal could actually disadvantage this country in terms of maintaining our leadership, not just in environment, but in particular on innovative clean energy moving forward that would potentially give other countries a leg up on those jobs and those improvements and those technologies. I have no idea why we would want to do that.
Well, let me throw one more sort of pushback at you. And of course, you don't have to listen to the radio too closely to come across this concern or read it in the newspaper. I mean, Scott Pruitt was down in Kentucky yesterday to make this announcement. That's coal country. That's where you hear a lot of folks sort of saying, hey, the federal government was trying to pick winners and losers and essentially put us out of work.
Yeah. Well, I think that you just have to look at the facts, Anthony, and I say this with all sympathy for those areas, but the coal industry has been losing jobs since the 1980s. It is not a technology that is going to lead us into the future. And the damage of these kind of signals, frankly, this signal of repealing the Clean Power Plan is to me just a signal. I don't think it's going to survive in terms of court challenges because it doesn't follow the law. It doesn't do what legally the agency has been told it must do because of the climate science and the challenge of climate change. So I think what the biggest problem that I worry about is that when you have shifts in the economy like we're seeing, regardless of the Clean Power Plan, we're moving towards clean energy because we have to, and it is now more cost-effective and marketable than coal is in the energy sector. It is simply too expensive to run coal units. And the good news is that when you shift to cleaner energy, it's better for public health as well as climate change. But the challenge is that when you deny that, when you go into coal country and you give folks, you know, some sense that the world is going to reverse itself, you know, it just does. It's not based on the history of the coal sector, which I've said has been losing jobs for decades. And it isn't an opportunity to talk to them about what their future really is. How do we begin to reinvest in those communities? How do we put those people to work rather than make promises for a very few that is working not within the best interests of the many?
All right. Well, big challenge indeed out there. That's Gina McCarthy. She's the former administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency under President Barack Obama. She joined us from Jamaica Plain today in Boston. Gina McCarthy, many thanks.
Anthony, thank you.